Good morning, Kenny. So this week, the Patterson family, I don't think they're here. They're watching on TV. I told them to last night, on streaming it. You're watching, right? Grant, Sherry. Their baby, Jace, who I think is 9 months old. I don't know, somewhere between 7 and 10. I don't know. There's a lot of babies, right? A lot of friends growing up in this place. But he had pneumonia and was put in the hospital, I think on Thursday afternoon, and he's home now, so he's doing well. But here's my concern, and it's a little self-centered. I admit, starting the year off this way probably isn't right, but I'm wondering with the NFL, when it comes on at 10, if I'm going to be in that little box in the corner. Or if the NFL will be there. Grant, I'm going to ask you. I just had to do that. So a little family business before we get going, just for fun. It's the new year. If you're new with us, just go along with things. But, we're always looking ahead, and we're trying to plan ahead. We're trying to get ready. We're trying to always resupply in any and every way that we can. So, with musicians, we gotta start early. So I got a couple little picks for you. This is my grandson. And this is from Liam Finn, his gift. He, I guess, wasn't going to become a drummer. And Terry and Billy were really sad to lose these drums from their house. But it was a gift to Michael. And he's got the look like he's got the sticks holding high. But you got to watch the next pick. It's a little scary. Watch the left hand. This is Jake. I mean, he's on top of the hi-hat. He's on it, Keith. Look at the focus, man. He's there with his dinosaur and everything. So we're just thinking ahead. Also, I have another pick, just family stuff, just for fun. And it's of a friend of mine, and you'll probably recognize him when you see him. This would be Mark Sullivan. On January 1st, 2016, looking cool, got the Ray-Bans or whatever they are on, looking trim. Caught the wave perfect behind him, a little bit of offshore breeze, not much, but just a little bit. I wish it knocked him down, but that doesn't happen. Just my own personal desire. But here's what my friend Mark does, because he's a really nice guy. He's the fellow right here, if you didn't know, right here. He's one of the nicest men I know. But what he does, he sends this pic back to Iowa to all of his family and friends. And I believe the high was 28 degrees that day. He told me when I asked him if I could show it, because I asked permission. So I'll never put you up there without permission. So don't ever give me permission unless you don't want it. But he grew up watching the Rose Bowl in Iowa, by the fireplace. And he said, one day I want to live out there. And his dream came true through Sandra. And many other things came true through Sandra. Two sweet boys. So enough of that stuff. On another note, though, I'd like you to take your bulletin, all of you, and turn it over. Turn it over and look at the back side, and it's kind of on the bottom. I'm sure something you don't look at often. But I need to say, yeah. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And I will continue if you want. Amazing Christmas week around here. You guys collectively gave $102,982 last week. And our budget was really behind, and you didn't hear many complaints from me, and you just won't. We're going to live on whatever Jesus and you give to us, okay? It's what we're going to do. We're not going to complain. I don't have a big stick that I bring out. You guys know that. The other shoe is not going to drop on you ever. But you came back, and we're over budget, and it's really a big deal. We're getting down to, there wasn't a lot of reserve. I don't know how much reserve you have in your world, but we didn't have a lot, but we've got a big God. And I just, I always want to trust Him and know that He'll work through you, but I just want to say thank you collectively to all of you for what you did. It really is a big deal. I mean, you talk about setting things on target for this year. We're not at zero for reserves, and I really, really appreciate that more than you know. And you do this collectively. This is your church. You get to decide individually how you're going to participate. So I just want to say thank you. And also, one last thing. And then maybe we'll teach the Bible. I'll just pray and we'll go home. It's going to be a good year. I feel it already. But men and women's Bible study is doing something different that we've never done before. And I'm kind of excited. I don't think it's a big deal, but I'm excited about it. And what it is the women and the men are going to both do the same study, not together. But it's going to be Andy Stanley series for 5 weeks on happy, how to be happy, where happiness really is found. And you can imagine where he's going to end up and what his target's going to be. But on Tuesday and Thursdays, it'll be the same thing for 5 weeks. And so those of you that are married, and if you haven't come to Bible study yet, this may be a great opportunity for you to come. And you can go home and not only share with your friendships in men's Bible study and women's Bible study, but amongst one another. And it's starting January 19th through the 21st, the third week of January. So you may want to, this may be a shot for you to come in for 5 weeks and see if you like it. See if you like the guys there in the room. If you don't like them, just don't come back, you know. You'll like them. So today's theme, should we love Jesus? It's kind of a question. You know, I mess with the themes, as Kenny shares with you every time he does the intro. But I do. I want you to think when you come here. This is not just about pitching and catching, where I'm the pitcher and you're the catcher. I want you to think. I want you to have to deal with the stuff that Jesus says. I want you to ponder in your mind and in your heart week after week. Who should I be? Where should I be? What should I be doing? How should I be changed by the truth? And my answer certainly to this would be, I think so. And you're going to see that as we work through this text, which is short and beautiful. You know, usually, you know, life has changed for me, as many of you know, the last 6 years, when Jesus became the focus of my life, not just teaching the truth, and I wanted him to become preeminent in my life. I want to have the privilege of helping you learn the art of making Jesus preeminent in your life. And, you know, so much has changed for me. But in the past, I would oftentimes, the first message of the year would be a challenging message. This is what a lot of pastors do. And it was kind of on four things. I'd say this differently, but it'd say, how are you going to use your time, your talents, your treasure, and one other T, but like Mr. Perry from Texas, I can't remember it. But because I'm a C student, it doesn't matter. I'm not going to be president, obviously. But we're not doing that today. And what Jesus gave us in this text, I didn't pick it. It's just the next one, being the first week. It's maybe the most important subject matter we could ever get our hands around. And I'm not making that up. You'll see it as we work through it. Jesus is going to tell you, in no uncertain terms, that I want you to love me. And he's going to tell you how to do it. Plain and simple. So in the year 2016, if you want to love Jesus, not only are you going to know how to do it, but he asked you to. And you'll see. A lady joined her Navy husband on his tour of duty in Japan. She just didn't want to be away from him anymore. And to supplement their income, she got a job as a secretary for the commanding officer of the base. She was certain her office skills had gotten her the position because she's pretty experienced, applied, and got the job right away. A few weeks later, her boss called her into the office and said, you know, we got a little problem. You are much too quiet. And she was kind of taken back, as you'd expect. He said, you need to understand, the reason I hired you was your Texas accent. I'm homesick for somebody who talks right. I'm homesick. Listen, folks, Jesus talks right when it comes to love. And if somehow you will take this message and what Jesus says and plaster it in your brain and let it move down to your heart and get into your fingertips and your steps that your life is going to take, so much would be, it'd be like HD versus not HD in your life with who Jesus can be to you. So I hope you hear these simple, simple words today and you take them to heart. So let's pray as we begin. Jesus, thank you that we can be here. Thank you for the music. Boy, rousing, stunning, loud, good, stirring. We always want to worship you in this place. We want to stand in awe of you over and over again. So Jesus, thank you for the gifts of your followers to this church this last month and especially the last week. May you bless those who gave greatly. May you resupply them in a beautiful, honoring way back to what they shared with you. And Jesus, we welcome you into this room, into this year, into our marriages, each and every one of them. We want you to be the leader of our life. We want to be intimate with you. We want to know how. We want to go down that path. We want you to be preeminent in our life. Help us in that pursuit. Help us shine brightly to the people around us. Help us desire deeply to want to know you more than anything, to really make you the love of our life. We pray in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Well, we're in a series entitled Journey with Jesus, and we're working our way through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And I got to tell you, I'm not this big study guy, but when we started the Last Supper, I did not realize how long the Last Supper went on. And I want to partly apologize that I didn't know that, but I don't think many of you knew it either. I asked a guy that has an MDiv yesterday, I said, did you know that virtually 3 chapters of the book of John happened in the Last Supper? He goes, really? And I go, huh, that's cool. That's cool. Yeah, I really did. But we're working our way through his life. We're seeing what he said, what he did, how people responded to him. And our hope is to certainly understand him better, but to do more than believe, to take our life and to mesh it together with his, to get ourselves as close as we can to the heart of, the life of Jesus in any and every way we can, and how to make him the love of our life. And again, as I mentioned, we're wandering our way through the Last Supper kind of slowly, but he's coaching his men now on the future, as he's done in different ways, but he just said that he was one with the Father. We saw that last week. Pretty big statement, claiming to be God. And Jesus is fully God, as we pointed out last week. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen my Father. Pretty big statement. Pretty studly statement. The world doesn't like that, doesn't believe that, but Jesus clearly laid that out. Huge proclamation for him to make. Now he gets personal with the guys. Rather than being kind of about him and who he is and what he brings to the table as God in the flesh, he lays out what he wants from them, from us, how they should respond, we should respond to him. And they aren't deep words. You could figure this out. You could write this message, believe me. But as we wander through it, just accept the gentleness of it. It's not deep, but it is beautiful. Love is intimacy. It's closeness. It's connected. And it's what he wants. It's what he wants. Number one, first of all, Jesus telling his guys how to love him. That's what he does right here, right off. Everybody's going to get it. That's what we're going to see. Today is all about love. Certainly love for Jesus, but which will impact all the relationships in your life. Now, love is an interesting word, as we all know. We sing about it probably more than any other word. Love defined as an intense feeling of tender affection. So it kind of gets to the inside of us, the core of us. Love is deep. It's emotional. It's vibrant. It's something that elicits deep interest in somebody or something, but mainly somebody. I mean, most of us here appreciate a good pizza, right? And now they have gluten-free pizza. There's calories, by the way, in gluten-free. I just want you to know, but I just want to share that today. It speaks of, as you look at the definition, the worship or adoration of God. That's what love is, certainly in part. Right kind of love, smart love. But love is caring deeply about something or someone, and we kind of all get that. And Jesus uses that word, and it's tender, and it's real, and it's who you want to be. Look at it in verse 15. Let's jump in. He says, look, guys, after describing that he is God in the flesh, he says, if, looking at each of his disciples, and he would us today, he could bring the same message to us. If you love me, Jesus, while he's standing in the room, maybe he's sitting, I don't know, but he's captured the room, certainly. If you love me, he says, keep. The idea of keep is to obey, observe, follow, surrender to, submit to. He says, keep my commands. And when he speaks of commands, it's more than just what Jesus specifically said. It's the whole will of God. That's what he came to do. He came to do the will of God, to follow the will of God, to do what his father wanted him to do, not what he wanted to do. It wasn't about his opinion. And if somehow you could make that gentle shift in your life from wanting your opinion and your wishes and your dreams to all come true to meshing that with the very will of God, to seeking in your heart that I really want to love Jesus, and the best way I love him is to obey him and fit in with him like a well-fit glove in any way that I can, and to use what I have in any way that it can be used. Now, keeping, obeying is a hallmark of followers. You want to be a follower, a believer, one who's connected to Jesus, one who's close to him. Part of it is obeying and following, submitting. It's a way to show love. It's a sign that you see Jesus as really God when you're willing to follow him. It doesn't mean you do it to perfection. He knows better than that. He knows who we are. None of us will follow in perfection. But when the desire has been built into our life, when we've embraced it and accepted it, that's what God wants. That's my highest good. That's how I love this Jesus that died for me and is going to set me up in heaven forever and ever, where there's many rooms. It's a beautiful thing to see. Love needs to mean something is part of what he's getting at. Jesus defines what love for him is. It's a willingness on my part to keep his commands. It's not so much about performance, it's desire. So let me ask you, do you have that desire deep in your heart to follow, obey his commands? That's where love is found. That's where it's found. To do this, we need to listen to him. Then we need to decide to respond. It's a process. It's a growing thing. You don't come out of the chute meeting Jesus in your life, trusting him in your life, embracing him, asking him to come in, and boom, you're on. There's a lot of work to do. You got to decide to respond. Then you have to follow through with what's asked. That's loving Jesus. That's what he says here. Now, a couple slides just for fun that I want to show you. Just walk through. Jesus talks about obedience often. And check them out. This makes you a little nervous, me coming out here, huh? I'm going to stand right by Carlos. Aren't you glad, Carlos? Look what it says, Carlos. Have you already read it? You're not waiting for me? It's January 3rd, and you're ahead of me already? All right. Why do you call me Lord? Lord. He looks at his disciples. It says, and you do not do what I say. What he's getting at is it doesn't make sense to call me Lord and then not do what I say. There's a doctor right here. His name's Dirk. He changed my life 20 years ago. He found out that I had a hypothyroidism. It was off the charts. And he says, Jim, I want you to start taking one of these pills every day. I was so fat, I couldn't even fit in the car. And I did what he said. And progressively, it changed my life, and my thyroid got on track. Still need it. I did what he said 25 years ago, I think it was. What if I would have said, no, I don't know, I think you're right, Dr. Dirk. Jesus says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I said? Look at another one. Just appeared. Isn't that amazing? John 15, 14. You are my friends if you do what I command. Yeah, who wants to be his friend? All of us. He's been very clear. John, in the book of 1 John, says this, and it's pretty cool, pretty descriptive. He says, we know that we have come to know him. In other words, we have security that our faith is really in Jesus, that we're really connected to him, that we really possess eternal life because of him in our life. We have come to know him if we keep his commands. This is a huge part of our life, obeying, submitting to, following. Whoever says, I know him, but does not do what he commands is a liar. Those are strong words. Seems like we're hearing liar a lot out there in the political world. That's a big word. By the way, you all have lied in this room. Just want to share that with you. We've all lied. But to be an ongoing liar is not healthy for anybody or anyone. Whether it was by accident or whatever, I'm not picking on you. It's not a good way to start the year. You gave so much money last week, I should be nicer. I'm sorry. If you're new with us, get used to it. Okay? And the Bible goes on to say, and the truth is not in the person. You want the truth in your person. You want the truth. The truth is what breaks us free. He says, verse 5, but if anyone obeys his word, God's word, commands of the Lord, the will of God, the words of Jesus, love for God is truly made complete in them. So something dynamic happens in our life when we kind of understand and sign up to obey God to the best of our ability. Again, it's not about perfection. It's about want to. And any of you in this room can shift your life and say, I want to obey Jesus. I challenge you all the time to say, Jesus is my king. I love you, Jesus. Say those things out loud. How about you begin to say, I want to obey you, Jesus. You're not going to do it every time. He understands. He knows who you and I are. I mean, what happens to you when somebody cuts you off in the road? It's just a moment you need to get Jesus back. He understands us. But it is an interesting thing to look at directly. This is what making Jesus the love of your life, at least in part, looks like. I listen, I follow, I obey. Again, it's in large part about my desire. I have and build legitimate passion for Jesus because of who he is. I believe he's God, he's Savior, he's mine, he's altered my life. And I think those thoughts, I process that. It's in my brain and in my heart. That's part of who I am. Anyone can choose to have this. Anybody. Let's say you want to begin this 2016. And you want to start listening and learning about Jesus. Let's say that most of you in here are already doing it. I get it. But begin by doing the simple things that he asks. He wants us to be kind. He wants us to be forgiving people. He wants us to be generous people. He wants us to be people who care. Whether people care for them or not, it's not about your love. And start letting Jesus lead your life. Why not? What do you got to lose? All right, number two, let's keep moving. The Holy Spirit is yours, Jesus lays out. The Holy Spirit is yours if you love Jesus. And this is a little code talk, but it's kind of cool. He makes a promise to those who love him right here. And he tells them what's in store for them, speaking of the future. Something they wouldn't have fully understood then, but clearly a promise from Jesus to them. We can understand it more this side of the cross and the day of Pentecost and all that. He says this in the next verse, verse 16. He says, and I will ask the Father, me, I will, if you love me, follow me, obey me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another. And the word another is the idea of another like me. He didn't say that, but that's what he means here. He says, I will give you another advocate. Something that's going to be in your corner. As a helper, as he goes on to say, to help you, I am going to ask the Father to send you, to give you an advocate that will help you. And the idea here is he will assist you. He will comfort you. He will strengthen you. It's exactly what he's going to bring to your life. And by the way, this advocate is going to be with you forever. Forever is a long time. That's a big word. We don't understand that. The word infinity, whatever that is. It's a reference to the Holy Spirit. Part of the Spirit's impact is to reveal spiritual truth. In verse 17, he calls it the Spirit of Truth. It's a reference to the Holy Spirit. He reveals truth to believers and followers, and that's really going to come in when we get to the end of this message. You've got to hear it. It's the best part in my mind. Thus, he's the Spirit of Truth, the Holy Spirit. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. We talked about this, how the Holy Spirit a little bit last week is sort of mystery, like the wind. It's hard to capture him in a bottle and go, ooh, there's the Holy Spirit. A little distant, a little ooh. It's otherworldly to us. We read about it. I believe it. I believe he's operational in my life as he is in most of your lives. The world thinks this is silly talk here right now, by the way. Silly talk. People who refuse to believe can't get what we believe and why we believe it. They just don't understand until they're changed. And this is the beauty of really trusting and following Jesus and finding him and then falling in love with him. It's a beautiful process if you let it happen in your life. It's foolishness to them, this kind of talk. He goes on, but even though the world can't accept him, he says, in contrast, you know him. Now, Jesus is speaking to his disciples and followers. You'll get it, guys. Not yet, but you're going to get it when he's sent. When this advocate comes, you're going to know it. You're going to know him. He says, for he, defining this advocate, the Holy Spirit, for he lives with you and will be in you. These are enormous words, and they're supported by a number of passages in the New Testament. But this is Jesus telling him, he's going to dwell with you, men. You don't get it. You don't understand. I'm talking out loud, but this is going to happen. Literally, this advocate is going to live in you. Again, the world thinks this is a little crazy. We're just a little bit nuts when we explain that Jesus lives in us in the form of the Holy Spirit. They go, what? I mean, the gospel story is a little crazy. It just happens to be the truth. You're with me on that. Some guy lived 2,000 years ago, and he was on a cross. And you got to give the world some room there. This is a tough story, but this is our life. So Jesus teaches the Holy Spirit's available, right here, that he will live in you, in me, that he will impact your life, that he will never leave you, and that he confirms your faith. That's big news. It's not little stuff. The Holy Spirit brings so much. Number three, I sense you might be getting a little bored. I'll try to tell a joke or two. Number three. The life of Jesus is literally in us. Jesus wants us to understand being connected to his life, to his light, to eternal life. Somehow, if this could be unleashed in your life, it just shifts your thinking to what's most important. Verse 18 goes on. He says to the fellows, he goes, look guys, I will not leave you as orphans. This is a reference to his death that is probably about 18 hours away, maybe 15, maybe 20. I don't know. I wasn't there. But Jesus is thinking about the guys and the emotions of losing him that they're going to go through. I don't know if you've ever lost a person in an untimely way, but it is devastating to the soul. You don't know what to do. Even if somebody lives a good long life, it's devastating to bury your daddy or your mommy. I don't care what age they are. And a lot of us have experienced that. He cares for the guys. He knows what's going to happen. He's been their champion, their leader. He's 33-ish. You got the ish, right? I don't know exactly. He says, I will come to you. This is a reference to his resurrection. This is in 3.5 days, not 18 days, 18 hours. They don't know this. He's telling stories to these guys. They're not getting it. But we can get it this side of history. He says, 19, before long, the world will not see me anymore. They're not going to see me, but you will see me. That's a bold proclamation. This is so prophetic. It's so enormous. He's about to be hung on a cross, nailed, killed, stabbed, buried. No breath in him. And he's going to come back, as we all know the Easter story. And only his followers saw him after his resurrection, by the way. The Bible teaches in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that up to 500 brothers and sisters witnessed him after his resurrection. So it wasn't just a few folks. Can you imagine being one of them? And then here he tells them, because I live alive after dying, the resurrected Jesus is assigned to us, you also will live. If you just take this to the bank, because he lives after he dies, you also are going to live. Jesus is saying, I will be the visual proof to you that you will live even after you die. I want to give you confidence, fellas. that your future is safe with me. My life will be in you. Eternal life, life that only God possesses, will be given to you by me, is what he's getting at. This is one of the reasons to love him. This is one of the reasons to obey him. This is one of the reasons to follow him. And it's beautiful to me to see the concern of Jesus on his fellows. This isn't a small thing. This is a guy who cares. Jesus cares about your emotions, what you're facing today, what you have out in front of you this year that you may not even know is coming. Good, bad, or the other one. That was a little joke. He knew they'd be devastated. And he's trying to encourage them, and frankly, us here, I believe. Number four, let's keep moving. Jesus makes a promise about us and him. He's saying something's going to happen. And he's kind of been hinting this way, of course. And everything's going to change. And he's saying, listen to me, boys. You will end up understanding things differently than you do now. It's what he's getting at. And again, he's talking about the Holy Spirit. And it's cool stuff. Verse 20, he says, on that day. Well, what day? Well, the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. You can read it later. The Holy Spirit would be given and placed in each person individually that was present there that day. On that day, you will realize, and all of them would have been there, you'll know, you'll become aware, something significant will change, things will be different than it was before. When the Holy Spirit comes and begins to live within you, I will ask my Father to send him, and he will send him. And they've not experienced this yet. Most of us in this room have already experienced it. It's why we get joy sometimes, and we find peace where it shouldn't be peaceful. This is what the Holy Spirit, why you experience guilt when you cross the line that you shouldn't cross, and why when you repair that and you begin to live the way you ought to, you feel the smile of God. It's not like he shows up on your rearview mirror, but there's something inside of you that says, yes, I am following. Yes, I am loving him in whatever way you can express that. And it happens in an internal way. He says, you will realize, look, check it out now, that I am in the Father. You'll begin to understand the mystery of the Trinity, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, where you couldn't before. And humanly, you can't diagram as a professor the Trinity of God and make everybody convinced. This is something only God can kind of bring into your sensibility with truth and with reality once you begin living with them in a beautiful way. A kind of deeper spiritual understanding will happen via the Holy Spirit. It's not you figuring everything out. I am in the Father. And he goes, you'll also begin to understand that you are in me. This life of Jesus in us, you'll understand about the Spirit in your life, that you have me. When you begin to know and you're positive that you're headed to heaven, you can begin to live more fearless in a right and proper and productive way with the gospel. You don't have to be owned by comparing yourself to others. You don't have to be on the treadmill that so many people find themselves on of competing. You don't have to live your life as a people pleaser any longer. Why? Because you know internally that you're safe with him. He says, I am in the Father and you are in me and I am in you, that we are connected. When he talks about all the metaphors of I am the vine and you are the branches. You are the bride and I am the groom. There's tons of them. We begin to understand the reality of that in my life, in your life individually. And it puts you in a different place than a lot of the people you might hang out with. They have no clue. They don't care. They're on to something else. When you look at the disciples after Acts 2, they became different. Their lives were altered. They were never the same. The promise Jesus made came true, which doesn't surprise us, but it's absolutely enormous. And Jesus makes it clear, number five, that refusing to listen and follow is a big deal. I kind of went a little negative here, but I want to get your attention if I can. Loving him really does come down to this, by being willing to listen, and after listening, start following and obeying. It really is that simple. It's not deep. Following Jesus is not complicated. It's not. I'm not saying it's easy, but it's not complicated. Anybody in this room or in this city could do it. Most aren't interested. You guys are. You're here. Thank you. Appreciate that. I know you came for the music, though. Verse 21 says this. It says, whoever would be anybody, anyone, open to all, everyone is welcome here. Everybody. And I love that message of the gospel. Whoever has my commands, access to them, hears them, reads them, is concerned about them. These are what we talk about weekly. Whoever has my commands and keeps them, submits to them, obeys them, embraces them, cares about them, is the one. And I love the one because he's speaking of individuals. This isn't corporate. Jesus is an individual savior to a lot of us, most of us in this room, is the one who loves me. So it kind of comes at loving me differently, but it's the same message. Back to love. We personally can express our love to Jesus. That's what we get to do. He, in essence, repeats verse 15, if you love me, keep my commands. It'll always come down to this. Listening allows me to love Jesus. Keeping his commands confirms I love Jesus. Now, let me say that again. It's just the truth. Listening allows me to love Jesus. Keeping his commands confirms my love for Jesus. It's a formula nobody can get away from, and it's one you ought to run to. Jesus couldn't be more clear. Couldn't be more clear. And last, and maybe my favorite, he throws in a little doozy here. You know what a doozy is? I don't know. But you get it. The results of loving Jesus are enormous. Or if you're a Donald Trump fan, huge. Okay? It doesn't matter. The results of loving Jesus are enormous. Jesus defines the results of loving him. And these are not small things. Check it out. What you get in 14:21, he says, the one who loves me. So who is this guy or gal who loves him? Well, I think we've learned that. It's one who listens. You got to listen to obey. You can't obey what you don't listen to. The one who listens and obeys, keeps, observes, submits to my commands. The one who loves me lays out three things. Will be loved by my Father. I will love him and show myself to him. So three results. So what can we get? What do we get when we love Jesus? Number one there in your notes. We will be loved by the Father. Loved by the Father. And this is something, if you're a parent here, you understand this sort of principle in general. If you're a parent, what happens to you when someone, frankly, anyone, loves your kid or protects your kid or values your son or daughter? Yes, what you do is you love them. You love them. You hear the peaceful tone in the room? Now, what's happening here is Jesus is stating the obvious. It could have been something else. If it was David Zabalawi's phone, we'd be going Star Wars on us. But Jesus is stating the obvious here, that when you love me, you get my Father's love. It comes with it. Number two, you'll be loved by Jesus. Now, I know that three are one, but they're distinct. They have separate responsibilities. They have perfect fellowship among themselves. They didn't need us. They wanted us. He says, and I too, me, I will love them. So we get the love Jesus has to give. The Bible talks about he lavishes it on us. His love protects us. It empowers us. It encourages us. It motivates us. It inspires us. It forgives us. Number three, Jesus will be disclosed to us. And this is maybe my favorite, one of my favorite passages in the Bible. I've wanted this my whole life. It's one of those things that just hooked me. John 14, 21. And it's part, the thing that got me is I've always wanted this. And I feel like it happened to me 5 years ago. I don't know why it took so long. I'm not sure. I don't know. It really was the question, though, somebody asked me 5.5, 6 years ago, do you love Jesus? And when I had to visit that question, me, Jim McKinga. Well, if Jim McKinga, after, 25 years, 30 years of doing this stuff with kids and to the best of my ability, and I never set the bar high, you know that, C student, we're right here, so we can get over that one. But when I got confronted with that question, the answer is, well, of course Jim does. And then I started visiting the question. He says, well, wait a minute, in his writing. He said, wait a minute, let's talk about what it means to love him. And then I had to examine, what is it that I love? Well, I love ministry. I love youth work. I love children's ministry. We've had the privilege of building two churches. It was really fun. I don't ever want to do it again. But we did it twice, okay? And God blessed us. And I love people. And I started loving all these things that were about the church, and in the church. But what's in the middle? What's the hub? It's got a J on it, and it's called Jesus. It's easy for us believers to love the stuff that's around Jesus and miss him. Not that we don't believe him in him, not that we're not headed to heaven, but he does not become the focal point of our life. And with that switch, for me, something happened. And many of you have had to live with that in mind. Some people left the church because they just want a Bible teacher. And that's not what I am anymore. I'm going to teach you the Bible, but I'm going to teach you to love Jesus. I mean, you stick around me, you're just going to get sucked into the vortex. I don't even apologize for it either. Here's what he's saying here. That's obvious. Yeah, go. Thank you, baby. Thank you. Stick with me. Yeah. Well, this is one of the greatest promises in the Bible. What he's saying is that I will show myself to them. I will disclose myself to them. I'm going to unpack me to them. You, believers, followers. This is what loving, following, and obeying does for us. What it produces in our life. What it uncovers over time. What it creates in us. And we experience more of Jesus. Now, he doesn't sit at the foot of my bed. I don't have conversations with him that come back. I sense his presence in my life always. I want to be with him more than anything. He knows that. I love him more than I love my wife. Yes, I do. She's right behind him. But he is the primary focus of my life. And I want him to be the primary focus of my wife's life. And when that happens, there's a connection that I'm telling you is sweet and beautiful. Because we're in the right place. Think of the Mount of Transfiguration. Now, it's a special moment where the three fellows went up and they met Moses and Elijah. There's some cool cats there, okay? The white light, Jesus was undressed before them, and the godness of him, they hit the ground. They wanted to build a house. Peter goes, let's build houses. We want to live here. Well, duh. But Jesus was disclosed to them. Now, that's not going to happen to me and you. But that's a picture, I think, of what happens to you in a minimal way with Jesus when you really say, I'm going to love him. I'm going to obey him. That's what I'm going to do because he asks it. Not because I'm talking you into it, because he asked for it, and you know it. I'm not making this stuff up. This responsibility Jesus gives to himself, not to you and me. I'm not supposed to unpack Jesus. That's not my job. Jesus does this as I surrender, as I submit to him. And what do you want for 2016? How about you get 10, 15% more of understanding Jesus this year? Pretty good deal. This is something he does, not you do. See, a lot of people want to study the Bible to get more of Jesus. Hey, study the Bible. Enjoy the scripture, but you do what he asked you to do here. You love him, and you watch what happens. When you take your passion and your intimacy towards him, you watch. Jesus asks us to follow him, to listen to him, and to obey him. Well, what do we learn? Let's bring this to a close. Number one, Jesus is honestly with us always. I know this is a minimal statement, but it's true. Exactly what he's trying to tell the guys. In Matthew 28, we saw last week, lo, I am with you always, right? The Bible says nothing can separate us from the love of God. Romans chapter 8, the last couple of verses, precious stuff. We can be supremely confident in this future reality that Jesus will always be with us. Lock that in, baby. Number two, I have a serious responsibility with Jesus. It's a two-way street here. Jesus is the power player. He's the one with a really big engine, if you know what I mean. But I get to choose what I believe and what I love. And he laid it out. I can listen, and I can love and obey, or I can obey and I can love. It's two sides of the same coin. But you want to be that. All of us ought to ask ourselves this, am I willing to do what's needed here? Am I willing to step up and do it? Have I done my part in loving Jesus? Let's do it. Number three and last. Why would I ever stop loving Jesus? This is a question you really can't answer. I get it. There's no good answer to this. If you got one, don't tell me. But why would I ever stop loving Jesus if I ever get there? What would be the reason? To settle inside of yourself what's most important. That Jesus is to be preeminent. That I want to follow him. The result is just more peace is going to slip into your life and more joy. And he's going to bring it. I want to close with a slide that I saw this week. And it's pretty cool, I think. You know, I think you'll like it. Because I think it's true. Are you guys reading ahead? I'm not looking at it yet. Carlos, you reading it? Yeah. All right, I'm back. Your relationship with Jesus will set the tone of every other relationship in your life. Fix your eyes on him and watch how it changes things. Let 2016, Dale, be the year that he gets your full focus. And watch that. Are you sad that I left you out, Dave? And watch him slip into all the other relationships in your life. And you can be an example. You can be a forgiver. You can be a lover. You can be a generous person to them. Let him lead. Let's pray as we close. Father, thank you that we can be together. And I just pray for my friend Dale and Carlos and Dave and everybody else, including me, that this year might be a great year for Jesus in our life, that we might just take to heart what it is he wants, what it is he asks, and we just move forward gently and plod along on the path you want. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for truth. Thank you for people who want to hear it. We love you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Have a wonderful day.